when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Morning Coffee with Dr. T. I hope you've RSVP'd to join us in our live studio audience so you can chat with our team and our guests. And a big welcome to all those joining in on our platforms. Together with our Tenpenny team, I'll be covering for Dr. T while she's away to give you a window into what our private team chats look like. If you've been in our live studio audiences before, you've caught some of our pre-show chatter over the years. Now you'll get the full experience. Today, we're going to talk about Dr. T's recent substacks on vax ingredients, about the disgusting cow and chicken stuff in vaccines and adjuvants. And I really wanted to get some first-hand reactions and opinions to this information. With that, let me introduce to you our guests today. New to our show is Donna Aliperti. Donna is a registered nurse with over 32 years of experience. When the pandemic hit, she was among the first RNs to speak publicly in opposition. Her journey led to the development of two grassroots organizations that I'll let her explain later on. This leads me to our next guest, Susan Sweeten. Susan's a regular here. She's also the founder of Freedom Travel Alliance and Freedom Health Connect, where together with Donna, they're rebuilding the broken healthcare model. She's a mom with a hell of a gut instinct and a personal story relevant to today's topic. And our next guest needs no introduction. Critically Thinking's Dr. Pilevsky is an NYS licensed pediatrician who utilizes a holistic approach to children's wellness and illness. He has worked in pediatric eMERGE and intensive care, inpatient and outpatient pediatrics, NICU, newborn and delivery room medicine, and conventional, holistic, and integrative pediatric care. Dr. Pilevsky is a diplomat of the American Board of Integrative and Holistic Medicine. His infamous testimony at the Connecticut Public Health Committee in 2020 about the dangers of vaccines went viral and made him a household name. I feel honored to call all of you my friends. Thank you for joining me here today.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning,
everyone.
That was a mouthful early in the morning. How'd you like my dog jumping in and trying to, you know, put in her little intro in there?
Always.
Real life, right?
That's always room for the four-legged friends.
Right? So welcome all of you. Donna, you're new here. You're new to our show. I wanted to start with you for a second. And I want to explain to everybody why I've brought each of you here, and I'm going to explain you too. So Donna, I know you're an RN. You've worked in neonate, you've worked in pediatrics. I know that you did some midwifery as well, but I wanted to get your reaction when you read Dr. Tenpenny's, and this is just four of many to come. She's doing an ebook actually with all the ingredients that we're going to talk about. But I wanted to get your reaction. And I sent you all the articles, and Susan, I even called you right when she did the articles. I said, did you read that? And some of us in our circles know about this already. And Donna, I thought of you right away because I knew that, you know, you haven't been in this game for 20 years, you know, like I know
right.
Dr. Pilevsky has, and I know Susan's gone through her own journey through this. And I really wanted to get your take as an RN. If it's okay, if I say this, you know, you've probably given vaccines in your lifetime. You've probably been a part of that, you know, common system. What was your reaction when you read some of these? And I'll let you go ahead. Like I asked you guys to go ahead and pick something out of there that you wanted to talk about. I'll let you go ahead and tell me what that felt like.
Yeah. So for me, you know, I think I shared a little bit that, I did a bachelor's in nursing and then I went on for graduate work in midwifery. And like you said, Michelle, I worked completely in maternal child health. So of course I've had an extensive, years of experience with vaccines. I wasn't a typical and regular pusher in my professional life, but they surrounded my practice for sure. And I also embraced them in my personal life. Not only was I vaccinated as a child, I vaccinated my own three children. It was just a trusting of the system. And it really was only in the last handful of years that I woke up. And for me, the journey began while I was still working in hospital. And I watched this slow, steady decline of what we call Western medicine. And I'm not a baby out with the bathwater kind of thing person. I think that there's a place for much of what once was, but it's very broken. And so I watched this decline over the course of three decades. And you know, the hepatitis B shot was a real awakening for me because I watched people, the policies change over a handful of years from a suggestion to really encourage them to you can't leave the hospital without. And when you think about, you know, hepatitis B and the ways in which you contract hepatitis B, it made no sense to be pushing this upon general healthy public and newborns. And so, you know, over the course of the last few years, I've learned a lot that I didn't know before. Sad to say that our education system, higher education system in the health field is sorely lacking. I think that's intentional in many regards because where the funding comes from for these schools. So reading Dr. Tenpenny's articles that you shared with me, and I was so grateful to receive them. Yeah, it's quite shocking. And when you start looking at things like, you know, the bovine fetal serum, the products from both fetal, you know, chickens and fetal cow. And then you think about what those products can do, how they're injected versus ingested, and the rise in allergies and all kinds of gut health issues. You start connecting these dots in ways that I personally never have before. And so I'm leaning into a lot of you old schoolers who have been on this road for a lot longer than I have, but it was shocking to read some of the things in Dr. Tenpenny's articles and Substacks, truly.
Let me ask you a question. So one, I used to work in an ICU, and I remember having these discussions with some of the nurses I worked with. And some of their arguments would be, well, you know, we eat tons of those things. Like for instance, you know, aluminum as an example, you know, they'll argue about it being in breast milk and in formula and things like that. This is what they're, you know, taught to believe. And they'll give me the whole, we eat that all the time. You know, they're going to look at those cow stuff and the chicken stuff and vaccines and gonna say, well, we eat those kinds of things all the time. They're in our diets. So I would like you to like just approach this as a, well, explain to me what your understanding is of inject versus ingest as a nurse.
Sure. So when you do, you know, as I did my master's program, I studied pharmacology at the graduate level. So that was with all the medical students and all of these things. That's what you have to do to get a prescription writing license in the United States. So, you know, you study pharmacology at an in-depth level. I also studied embryology at an in-depth level. There's things when you look at pharmacology like pharmacokinetics, bioavailability, and topics like this that maybe not widely understood or known to the public, but when you talk about the body's uniquely designed, right? And so just like your skin is the largest organ and it's a barrier that shields you from most things that you get exposed to, the skin does absorb some things as well, depending on what they are and how large or small the particles are. When you're talking about oral ingestion of anything versus an injection, whether that's intramuscularly, which most vaccinations are given intramuscularly, versus IV, the bioavailability, that means how much of that, you know, those ingredients, and we're always talking about the active ingredients, right? The things, the reason they're giving the drug, the medication, but there's also all of these other things, to your point, the adjuvants and other things to help increase the response in the human body or to help deliver them to where they're intended to go. These all have side effects. Some of them are minimal. Some of them are very, very serious. And when you look at bioavailability, to answer your question, when you take something IV or IM through the vein or through the muscle, it's 75 to 100% bioavailable. That means whatever is coming in there is going throughout your system. It's readily available almost completely to your at the cellular level. when you talk about taking something orally and it has to pass through the gut, you're talking about maybe 5% bioavailability in many cases. That's a tremendous difference. So they are not the same. And the gut has its own job. And still, even when you do oral, you know, you take things orally and or you take things intramuscularly, they're causing problems, right? We have all these issues now, leaky gut syndrome. And, you know, it's important. And these things are not studied. They're not really widely studied. And the information that is studied and put out there is very much subdued and cast to the side. I know for professionals like myself, I don't want to shame healthcare professionals. Most of us went into our practice with good intention. We believe in a system. We trust what we've been taught, that we've been given the whole picture. But it's not the case, unfortunately. And it's time that professionals start waking up and doing their own due diligence, quite frankly.
Yeah. Michelle, I'd like to, Donna gave such an amazing answer. I was like, wow, if only other health professionals would pay attention to what you just said, and parents. But there's something else that I want to share, and mothers and fathers and healthcare patrons, people who come to the medical professionals, are always told the following. Oh, there's such a little amount in the shots compared to what your child or you are exposed to in your lifetime, that it really doesn't matter. And you're going to hear that over and over again. It's a pat answer. It's an industry answer. When I was talking to a couple of medical doctors and scientists about the unbelievable increase in food allergies and the fact that every food allergy we have is correlated to the food protein being in the shots. And when I said something to these scientists and to these pediatricians, the pat answer was, oh, come on, there's such a small amount in there. You don't believe that that could have anything to do with allergies. And the answer to them across the board should be, really, that's interesting. Please show me the study that supports your position. Please show me the study that evaluates that injecting a small amount through a needle into the body has a different or the same effect as exposing children and adults to that material if they ingest it. And what you will find is a blank face and a mum mouth and probably the person walking away, because there has never been any study to support that statement that the amount in a vaccine is so minimal compared to what children and adults are exposed to in their lifetime that it shouldn't matter. There is no study ever correlating the effects differently from ingestion or injection. And so instead of reacting to the people who are telling you, oh, there's such a small amount in there, it shouldn't matter, just look at them with a pat industry answer and say, huh, interesting. I'd like to see the study that supports your position that it shouldn't matter. Show me the study that you understand the difference between injecting and ingesting, and leave the conversation there. Because you will never see it, ever.
Yeah, that's, I'm actually going to cut that out and post that everywhere, because that's exactly true. And that's a great answer. I mean, for anybody over here, get out your pen and paper, because that's the answer you should be giving everybody. That's great. That's great. And, you know, that kind of leads me to Susan. Susan, would you mind sharing your story? I know it's a very personal story, but it led you to where we are today. And I know that, you know, you Dr. Pilewski is one of your healthcare providers for your child too. So I'm sure he's going to be here going like, yes, everything she's saying is accurate. He's here to validate all this. If you're okay with sharing, I think our audience would love to hear what happened. What brought you on this journey?
Not understanding and giving away my power. So I'm just going to start right there. I think it's really important to own your square, and my onus is I did more research on what kind of laptop I was going to buy and what kind of crib I was putting in and what diapers I was putting on my son than I did the vaccines he was going to be given. So when I went into labor, I thought I knew everything I needed to know. I was the girl with the infuser. I had citrus in my room. I was taking my primrose and bouncing on my ball, but I was going to be the delayed schedule mom because that's as far as I could get in my thinking that they were not something that I wanted to give my son. I was hook, line, and sinker on safe and effective until it happened to me. Like every time, sorry.
Yeah,
I was waiting.
Which is why I usually kick my son out when I do these things because I know, because I, you know, as much as it's his story, it's still mine. So my son was born beautiful, and it was a very easy delivery because I had something called SPD, so I was wide open and ready to let my son come flying into the world, and he did. And we had they were so unprepared, like no one was gowned up. All of that. It was a very quick delivery. My husband was helping and he wasn't supposed to. And it was great. It was the way it was supposed to be. And he came out beautiful, healthy. And because they weren't prepared, there was other births scheduled. They let us be for the golden hour in our hospital, what lasted for 5.5 hours with my son, because they just were chaotic and they didn't think I was going to be on the schedule as quick as I said I was. And so after 5.5 hours of him being on me all beautiful and gunky, that's, you know, the nurse came in and said, we're going to wash him up and we got to give him his hepatitis B vaccine and his vitamin K. And it wasn't after birth that they gave him the vitamin K, which I thought is what one of the things I had read in one of the books. No, it was after 5.5 hours. And I didn't know anything about this hep B. And I did do some research in of like what's happening at the hospital the day of and things like that. That wasn't mentioned. And so calling it hep B, not even hepatitis, right? Hep B. I said, wait, hold on a second. And I'm now holding him in my right and I'm a righty. And I asked my husband for my phone and I asked to look at it, look it up. I started looking up, what is the hep B shot? And she looked at me very forcefully and came very close and said, if you don't give your child that shot, your baby that shot, your pediatrician won't see him tomorrow and you won't know if he's deaf, dumb, or blind.
I don't know how you contained yourself.
Well, I just thought my baby could be deaf or dumb or blind.
Yeah.
That was like a whole nother concern. And I gave Teddy over to him. Which as you see, I regret every day of my life. And I didn't have true informed consent. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand any of that because none of that's talked about ever when you go to see a doctor or, you know, even when you're like looking at other medicine, right? You're not told any of this. So Eddie came back and it was the first time he was off of me in 5.5 hours. So it was about 15 minutes, really. It really wasn't that long. Came back and he was all swaddled for the first time, like looking like a little burrito. And I'm like, God, I actually haven't gotten up. So let me get up and like, you know, readjust and arrange, go to the bathroom. Because when she left, I went down this rabbit hole of symptoms and signs that your newborn is deaf or blind. I didn't continue with the hepatitis B research. I went right into this. And as she brought him back in, I said, when is his hearing test? Because I started to spin and freak out. And she said, oh, they're on the floor. They'll come around. I was like, okay. So I'm, you know, went to the bathroom, came back. I wheeled him with me because he was in this clear bassinet thing. Wheeled him with me, come back to the bed. And I looked down and he's purple. And I freaked out. I started screaming. I hit the call button. My husband's sleeping on that crappy little couch they give you in the room. I'm like, he's not breathing. She comes running. I'm screaming. He's not breathing. The nurse comes running. At this point, I have now just unwrapped him and I'm about to like grab him. And she grabs him and she smacks him on the back a few times and rubs him. He's now crying on me. And this is a family show, so I won't go all Jersey here, but I went super jersey on the nurse, asking her, expletive, 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 what did you give my son? And she's like, slow down, mama. First off, he didn't turn blue. Blue is brain damage. Purple's okay. That was the answer. And then she said, didn't you have a fast birth? Now, one of the things I will say, I should have brought tissues over. One of the things I will say I got from my dad is I'm pretty quick on my feet. So I said, compared to what? He's my only birth. Like, what a fast birth? What are you talking about? She's like, well, sometimes when the baby's not squished enough in the canal, the junk doesn't get up. And so he's just catching the junk. And he's just getting caught up on that. Didn't sit well, obviously, but now my son's like, you know, screaming. And so now I'm trying to calm him down, trying to calm me down. My husband's like, what the hell just happened? You're like about to tear this nurse all the new parts. And it was a really long night. They ended up moving us because he was, every time he fell asleep and I'd put him horizontal, he'd stop breathing again. So now we get hooked up to all the things, the monitors, move up closer to the nurse's station. The next morning, the doctor comes in. And now at this point, my mom has come in. My best friend has come in. As Larry, as I talked to him about our tribe, right, our village that we've got away from, I looked at my village, my sister-in-law's, and I said, have you guys ever heard of this thing, fast birth, where the baby stops breathing? And none of them, you know, people that have gone before me having babies have ever heard of this. And so the next morning I led the witness and my pediatrician comes in and I said, hey, so I've been on pins and needles all night because this has happened, you know, every hour on the hour for the first 24 hours of his life. Every time I laid him horizontally and he was sleeping, he'd stop breathing. So guess what? I stopped doing that. Obviously, I wasn't going to let it happen all night long. I'm now holding him up, holding him this way, sitting up in the bed. And she comes in and I say, this, they gave him the shot. He was fine for 5.5 hours. He comes back within the hour, within that, like it was not even 50 minutes. It was like something like 52 minutes. I'm like, he stops breathing and now it's happening all the time. And she's telling me it's from a fast birth. Well, I gave my pediatrician the answer because I said, something happened with that shot. And she said, no, it does happen. It's very common for babies to get, to choke on some of the amniotic fluid that didn't get squished out. And because you were quick and then they had multiple births after you, I'm not worried. I'm sure he'll be just fine. And that was my answer. And nine months later, I finally found a pediatrician that told me otherwise because that fast birth lasted for 10 months of his life.
10 months. You know, that makes me think about the childhood schedule, Susan, because these kids are given these shots from the time they're born. So no parent can know what's normal because they're given it from the time they're born. So, I mean, Larry talked about this on Critically Thinking several months ago, where they changed the milestones, right? You were talking about that, Larry?
Yeah.
And, why do they change that? Because they're giving these shots to these kids so young that what's normal anymore? So it kills me that lady said that to you. This just happened to my goddaughter who just had her baby. And thank God she's been listening to me for years because she went to her pediatrician with her baby, well visit, right? And she calls me and she's like, the first thing they said to me is, if you don't give this shot to your baby's going to die. She said, I just about jumped off my seat and punched her in the face because it's like, how dare you say that to me? And she was educated enough to say something.
Michelle, I want to share something about what Susan shared, because every time she shares this, I get choked up.
No kidding.
So number one, there are many Susans and there are many Teddies in the world, too many. And I just want parents to know that as soon as you sign consent for care, when you go into the hospital to give birth, the vitamin K and the hepatitis B are automatically in the consent form. Even if they don't talk to you about it, even if they don't tell you that's what's going to happen, As soon as you sign consent for care, that is part of the care, and you're going to get it. So they are no longer obligated to explain it to you because it's part of your signature. And unless you say and write it all over the place, you are going to have your child receive the vitamin K, the erythromycin drops, and the hepatitis B vaccine as soon as your baby is born. So be aware, signature equals consent for care, period. And they have no liability because you signed for care. It's in the contract. The other thing is that Susan is an example of billions of mothers who are gaslit every single day that a baby is born. Because we are in a situation in medicine where a mother or a father or another family member has an experience, and some authority looks at you and says, oh no, you didn't have that experience at all. And so it's like hundreds of people going to the emergency room with a broken hand. And when the doctor says, what happened to your hand? Your answer is, you punched the wall and that's how you broke your hand. And every single doctor says to you, no, I'm sorry, that's not how you broke your hand. That is the state of our medical system today, because your experience is a wooden nickel entering their slot machine that doesn't compute. And so we are at the mercy of a system we keep asking to listen to us, and they won't, and they're not. And then they pull rank and tell you, they're there, little girl. You don't know what you're talking about. Everything's fine. And so if you continue to go to the medical doctors and nurses and ask them to listen to you, you are perpetuating the abuse. But if you get your jersey on, as Susan so said, and if you take your power and say, I'm not going to ask permission from you to affirm my experience, then we have an empowered system. And so the answer is not to ask the machine to accept our wooden nickel. The answer is to stop going to the machine in the first place and find a way to have your wooden nickel accepted by the people who respect wooden nickels. And that is where we are. And so we can continue the abuse and say, please accept that I had my experience, or we can do something else. Go ahead, Susan.
So I just want to say that's exactly where and when I met Dr. Pilevsky. And he said it a little bit differently because we were on a private call, but about the same effect. And I credit him with that mind shift. The very first spike for me in my mind shift. And I missed one of his talks. So I have to give a little history here of how I did come into contact with Dr. Pilevsky. I missed one of his talks because my son was 4.5 months. We were breastfeeding. My husband had some surgery. And I got on the thread of a group of friends and I said, hey, how do I get Dr. Pilevsky to come back to New Jersey? Because I can't go to Long Island. I'm Jersey. Like, this is just a thing. For those that don't get it, I'm sorry. And they said, oh, I'm a patient. And one said, I've done events with, you know, Larry before. I said, well, I'm an event planner, so I can do all the things and then run an event that I want to have because I want to see him. And in our tri-state area, prior even to that a very famous testimony that Dr. Pilevsky gave. He's been known in our world. Everyone, he's a household name inside of what we call the crunchy community, the holistic, natural-minded community, for being right here with us and helping moms empower themselves. And the discussion that we had, which is what we're talking about right now, is listening to your innate mother's intuition, not walking away from that, finding a practitioner or a provider that empowers that, and turning away from the system that is telling you, no, that didn't happen to you, you're crazy. And instead embracing the ability to create the world you want, because they're telling you to. They are literally giving us that permission. And he really put it so eloquently just now, but also on that private call with me going, why do you keep asking? I just asked you moms, because there's three of us moms on the phone. He's like, why do you keep fighting? Why do you keep fighting? Because it's the same people that tell you, no, you're wrong. That didn't happen. You're not allowed in here. Your kids can't come this way. You can't be part of our practice. All of those things. You can't come to our school. And I was so new to the movement, the health freedom movement, that I was like, tell me more. Why are you saying this? Let me learn something from this. Let me really hear what you're saying. And I did. I took that moment when he said that. And from then on saying, okay, this is not just about fighting. This is about building. And I credit him to, and I've told him this before, but I will say it publicly, to empowering so many of us to stand our ground and just say no. The power of no as a mom, to the big government, the big tech, the big pharmas, whatever the conglomerate we're talking about is so helpful to hear from a man that has stood in that power his whole career. And that gave me the courage to say, well, if he's saying I can go off and do this, then I need to go do it. You know, doctor's orders, I'll take these.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I mean, remember, they don't want you to think for yourself. You are not supposed to have a functioning brain. You are supposed to be pat on the head. They're there. Don't be hysterical. Don't be irrational. You know, you're just having one of your moments, that condescending, you know, which as a man, I can say this because I've watched it. I mean, women hate it when there's this there, you know, and, you know, that's when, you know, you go all Jersey. You know, they don't want you to think, they don't want you to ask questions. And I will say that the worst question is the one never asked. And they don't want you to have a voice. And I beg you, I encourage you, I support you, ask the questions, have the voice.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to add something in here as somebody who's newer in this awakening and fight when it comes to our medical system. Many times people will say to me that I try to talk to and express, you know, the concerns and have this shift happening for people who have generally just trusted the systems in place and the people that are representing those systems, hashtag healthcare providers. And they often say, well, what you're telling me makes me think that every healthcare provider is, you know, lying to the public, they're bad people. And that's not the case. You know, there are, those people do exist, and money, power, greed does a lot to alter a person and their integrity. But the reality is that, you know, when you go through school, this is where I say the education is lacking. And I'm not just talking about educating the public and the parents. That's one key piece of it. But the education to the healthcare practitioners and providers is lacking. You know, when I went, it was a long time ago, and I recently asked some newer graduates from nursing programs, when you go through school and you study, even at the foundational level for your baccalaureate or at the advanced degree level, and you study these, you know, you do your pediatric rotation, let's say, and you're studying all the fundamentals, or you're doing your pharmacology. Yes, time is spent on side effects and adverse reactions to different medical procedures or medications, but it's really glossed over as it's a rare thing. It doesn't really happen often. And that's not the focus, because the good so far outweighs the bad. And I think it's a narrative that's pushed. People don't understand that American medical schools are funded by lots of places, including big pharma. And so the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, there are a lot of influences there. And so it's a trickle-down effect, right? Most people aren't going into school asking, like, who funded my program? Who's funding the information that was put forward in these textbooks or on my online information? And so I think it's past time that we grab hold of students, providers, and start re-educating them. You know, right. It just needs to happen. It's not that, you know, that's where I think a big source of the issue really lies, because no one, I have one of my women, Denise, who joined with me very early on in the first grassroots group that I created, New Yorkers Against Medical Mandates. She was a nurse in a clinic. She gave a lot of vaccines. She cries over it today. She gave many vaccines over her many years. And at one point she sat down and she pulled every insert from every vaccine available. And she sat with them scattered around her. And she was reading them and started highlighting all the ingredients, all of the side effects, and started thinking through it. And, you know, she shared some of those with me. No, I'm going to venture to say almost no professionals are reading those inserts before they give them. So when you talk about informed consent, you're not getting it. You're just not getting it. Informed consent is another issue. People think that, I watched it happen every day. Larry, you said, you know, when you go into a hospital and you sign your admission paperwork, it's an automatic consent. And that's very true. Beyond that, when you have to encounter unexpected things in your hospital stay or in your treatment with your provider, there are other consents often obtained, but who's coming in and giving that, obtaining that consent? And what does that really look like? I can tell you in theory, what it's supposed to be is not what it is in practice. Right. It's just not.
Correct. You know, 13 or so years ago when the H1N1 vaccine came out, I went to a meeting in the Bronx, New York, and there was an infectious disease specialist there from Albert Einstein. There was an OBGYN there from local, and there was, I think, one other person on the panel. And I get up to give my 15-minute presentation on the flu vaccine and the H1N1 vaccine, and I took snapshots of the package inserts, and I read them and I explained them, and I showed people what was in it, and I said what wasn't available in understanding the side effects of these ingredients. During my talk, the infectious disease specialist from Albert Einstein walked out. He got up from the panel behind me, went around the auditorium, and I saw him walk out. And at the end of the whole session, after the Q&A, the obstetrician came up to me and said, why would you give all those ingredients to people? Why would you tell everyone what's in them? Of course, there's going to be stuff that's in there that's not good for you. Quote, unquote. That's what she said to me. And I kind of looked at her. I said, well, did you hear what you just said? The fact of the matter is that there is no understanding of the manufacturing process. And I encourage everyone to read those four articles that Cookie is posting on the chat and that Dr. Tenpenny wrote in her Substack in September of 2023, this month. I encourage them because there is absolutely nothing safe about the materials that are in the shots. And I also want people to know that a vaccine cannot be patented if the material in the shot occurs naturally in nature. I'm going to repeat that for the people in the back. The vaccine cannot be patented if there is a naturally occurring particle in the shot that occurs in nature.
So can I ask a quick question right there, Larry, on H1N1? So sure. I remember H1N1 the drug company saying that they wanted more adjuvants and no more eggs. They said that they were not growing it fast enough using eggs. Right. And they wanted more adjuvants. Could you speak to that from your perspective on what was the angle?
Well, the goal of the shots, let me step back for a second. I'm not going to have a conversation here about whether viruses exist or not and how they're isolated and all of that. I'm not going to go there. But to suffice it to say, if you are giving a vaccine where you want the body to develop an antibody against a bacterial particle or a bacteria or a virus or a viral particle, the mere injection of these microorganism particles is insufficient to create an antibody response. In the medical profession, in the science world, it is accepted that if you develop an antibody against the virus or bacteria, you have an effective vaccine. It doesn't matter whether it protects you. The word effective only means that you got an antibody response against the bacterial or viral particle. So the mere injection of the small pieces of genetic material of bacteria and viruses is insufficient to develop an antibody. So the manufacturers need to create or catalyze a sufficient immune response so that the antibody levels go up once the injection is given. And so the purpose of an adjuvant is to make sure that the antibody response is escalated. And so the microorganism, the bacteria or the virus, is bound closely to the adjuvant so that when the adjuvant is presented to the immune system, the adjuvant causes such an irritation in the immune system that the immune system shoots an inflammatory response against the adjuvant and anything that's attached to the adjuvant. So therefore, the body will produce an antibody. Now, we know that that antibody doesn't necessarily mean protection. And unfortunately, the entire medical world assumes vaccination, immunization, antibody production, protection, when we know the percentages of protection are so minuscule. But that's another conversation for another time. But that adjuvant, over the years, Susan, they have been trying to manufacture as many potent adjuvants as possible so that they can escalate the catalyzing of the immune response against the microorganism, the bacteria, the virus. Now, the challenge is that anything in the shot that's also bound to the adjuvant will also create and catalyze an immune response. That's how you have your food allergies. And that's how you have your allergies to many other things that are in the shots that are bound to the adjuvant and create such a catalyzed response that you're allergic to just about everything that's in the shot, including developing immune and autoimmune disorders. So the adjuvant is the key to poisoning you, because most of the adjuvants invade the brain and invade the cells of the body and create many, many of the autoimmune and neurological disorders that we see in children and adults today.
Nadana, I got to ask, was this at all talked about when you were in school?
Nope, never, not once. I can tell you, not in school, not in clinical setting, not at any level of education that I've received. And it's really just doing these things over these last years and digging in deeply myself, speaking to people who I consider experts now, like Dr. Pilevsky and others, You know, that your mind broadens, you start doing that research. And listen, it's not, if you have an education and common sense, it's not a far leap. We've all watched these things unfold in live time, and on graphs and scales that mirror one another, really. The increase in the vaccination schedule and childhood series through birth to 18, along with all of these different disorders that we see not only in children, but all of the issues we see in adults as well. I mean, we're talking about changing the body inherently from birth through its development years. And what is the long-term impact and effects of that? It needs to be looked at. And I, you know, the other thing is, you look at VAERS, right? It was such a weaponized topic during the pandemic, but this is something I never knew about either as a practicing person, right? For 30 years, I never knew about VAERS. I had never heard about VAERS working in these areas, maternal child health. And this has been around for decades. It's the government's own website. It's where you're supposed to go and report. Providers are supposed to report reactions. The providers aren't trained. So, you know, it's...
No, I wanted to report Teddy's. I wanted to report Teddy's. And I was told by my one pediatrician, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, Donna, what you said, just to dovetail, is that even if you present the information that you know, or any of the information we've talked about here to a healthcare provider, it is truly a wooden nickel in a slot machine. It is ghastly for them to hear this because they could not fathom that what you are saying is true, because they couldn't fathom that they were lied to, that they were hoodwinked, that they were snookered, that they were not aware. Why would they not teach us this? And one of the most fascinating aspects of the psychology of all this is they truly believe that if what you're saying were true, they would have been taught it by the people who taught them. And you coming along and saying it is next to impossible for them to register, because they can't put the juxtaposition together that you would be saying what you're saying and the people who they trusted did not. And so there's a huge psychology to this. And again, we've talked very often about this being a spiritual war, that they would never do this to us. And so you come along as a healthcare provider, educated, articulate, able to explain things, you know, just very able to lay it out on the line. And what you're saying is garbled material. It just doesn't go in, because it couldn't possibly be true.
Well, Dr. P, that reminds me of, I'm going to just bring myself back to the ICU for a second. I would sit there and open up the inserts, and they called it the vaccine train. So they would come in and they'd make us call them overhead, and everybody would come in and line up for their, you know, inoculation. And I would sit there with the insert and start reading it out loud to them as the nurses are walking up. And I'm like, hey, do you guys know you're still injecting mercury into yourselves? And they're like, no, that's not true. And so I start reading it off, and I ask them, you know, what thimerosal is. And they all look at me like a deer in headlights, and they don't know what thimerosal is. And, you know, I go on explaining what thimerosal is. After I proved them wrong about their comment, they then say, well, you know, we're going to die of something anyway. So,
right.
So hold on a second. So your defense is not, what? I don't want that injected into my body. Let me look into this. No, your defense is, I'm going to die of something anyway.
No,
that was the defense, Dr. See,
Michelle, that's their defense is exactly what I explained.
Yeah.
It is unfathomable for their digestive system to accept that you're right. So they have to deflect it, because otherwise the house of cards would come tumbling down. This is a brilliant psychology. I mean, it's been utilized for decades. And with the medical training changing over the last 2 to 3 decades, you will have more and more people who are so robotic that you are essentially putting the wrong computer information into their computers and they just spit it out, just like what you said. It's unfathomable. It's incomprehensible that you could be right, because if they didn't hear it from their peeps, it couldn't possibly be true.
Yeah, it's the house of cards. It's that house of cards, right? This is very simplistic, but I always flash back to when I was a child and I found out that the tooth fairy wasn't real. And my next thing was, well, if the tooth fairy isn't real, what about the Easter bunny?
Right.
Well, if the Easter bunny isn't real, what about Santa? And it's just that house of cards. Like the whole thing is now, everything I believed is a lie. And it's a crisis of consciousness, right? That people are not able or willing to expose themselves to. And so it's just this immediate wall that they put up. Like, no. I'm not the kid who doesn't yet want to acknowledge that these things aren't real. Sure. So it's a similar experience that many people have had. And so I like to use that as an example, because it is really truly the same psychological process, right? But it's not an excuse.
Donna, you said something earlier when you were talking about your experience going through nursing school. You said, I believed in the system. And, you know, I'm growing up Portuguese, you know, our ancestors are from an island. You know, back then, and it's not that far off, you know, I'm talking about my grandparents' time, you know, they would look at o senhor de doutor, you know, senhor doutor, the doctor is everything. It's like, he's the God, because he's the only one who had the education. He's the one that had that higher love. Like, what do you know? Who are you to question o senhor doutor, right? And that's still perception today, because I did a podcast in, I think it was April of 21. I did a podcast about just asking people to start just questioning. I'm inviting them to question. And I remember a comment that came up in the podcast. And this is not even a person of authority. It's not a person, you know, in politics. It's not a person who is a doctor or a specialist or anything of that respect. It was a regular Joe. Okay. And their comment was, who is this singer over here who thinks she has the right to question? And I was floored, because I said, this singer is a business owner, has a graduate of university. I'm not just a singer, and I've worked in hospitals. I've read, I know how to research. Like, so is the perception is that anybody but a doctor can understand and read and dig in and do research? That's still common perception. It's not just, you know, people that are in the system. You know, like, you went through the system and you said you believed in it, you trusted it. You know, mm-hmm. I look at that like what, like a religion? You believed in it, like, and I'm not meaning this in a mean way, because we all went through that stage. All of us at some point believed in that, right? Like a cult, like a religion. We don't say I believe in Mercedes, right? It's a manufacturer. So what you're saying when you say I believe in them, you're believing in an organization, you're believing in an association, you're believing in, you know, an elite system, you're believing in a system that wants to be able to control you, like Dr. P said, a system that wants to control you so you don't have a right to question. And you actually believe you don't have a right to question, because you've been so conditioned to think o senhor doutor knows it all and you have no right to speak. So in saying that, I want to empower parents. Like, this was such an empowering conversation between all of you. I want to empower parents, not just parents, grandparents, you know, couples, individuals, everybody. Learn how to read your inserts. We've made it pretty simple. If you go to bit.ly, I'm gonna read this out loud. I think Diane's probably put it up in Cookie too, but, you know, learn to read your inserts. Start somewhere, right? You can go to bit.ly/read-insert, and I'm reading this out loud because this goes on radio, so I want, you know, anybody who's listening to be able to.
Michelle's
access
giving
it.
You true informed consent right now. I'm going to be sitting on the other side of going like, just don't bother, say no. But I love a true informed consent, because that's what many organizations that we know, love and support, want to push forward. And Dr. T's made it very simple. Same thing, you know, if you go back in some, just Google Larry's name and go to page 500 yes. to be able to finally find him, because I'm sure he's shadow banned.
I know. We've put up that, I'm sure Diane has put it up, and I know Cookie's put it up here too. We've put up his testimony. I think everybody needs to go and listen to that testimony. And it's Dr. P, it's so long, and I'm going to have Diane put it into a Bitly link for me so that people can go on and see that.
He slayed it.
He did. I know. Every time I see that, I'm like, go, Dr. P. Like, it was so good. It was so good. Everybody, you need to see this. If you haven't seen it, you absolutely need to see it. Diane's putting it up right now in the studio. So anybody who's live, and she's going to give me a Bitly link for it, I'll tell you what that is in a few. But guys, so important. Like, why are we not allowed to, this is probably going to get taken down if I put it on YouTube, because we're not allowed to talk about this.
Right.
Why are we not allowed to talk about it? That should be your first red flag. If you're not allowed to talk about it, you should want to know more. Why can't we talk about this?
It's not that you're not allowed to talk about it. You're not even allowed to ask a question.
That's right.
You can't even ask a question. And that's when you know that you have moved from freedom to tyranny. And for those who are just waking up to the party, it has been like this for several years yeah. or even decades, where asking the question has been illegal, so to speak.
Makes you a troublemaker.
And now even more so, we can go to jail now. God
forbid. In Canada, you're the worst.
Why would you tell people what's in the vaccine? Of course yes. there's going to be stuff in there that's not good for you. Quote, unquote. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Well, Larry, I also recommend Shot in the Dark too. Take a read through that. It's a historical perspective of where we're sitting and why we're sitting where we're looking at universal healthcare being brought up by the WHO right now, trying to encapsulate traditional and holistic medicine as well through the WHO. You guys, this is the time to understand your square.
Can we even find Shot in the Dark online anymore? That
yeah,
was
you
one
can.
Of the first things I ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's important to remind people, your body is uniquely designed. It's a miraculous machine. Look at nature. Trees don't inoculate themselves, you know? Animals, they've been around since the beginning of time. They haven't gone away, and I don't think they're going away anytime soon. And we've all been here since the beginning of time without all of these interventions, probably a healthier specimen than we are now.
Mother Earth's going to take over. Don't worry.
And, you know, Dr. P had said something too. He was talking about adjuvants, and he said that, you know, a titer's test, like the existence of an antibody in your body in your test results does not mean that you are immune to getting that disease. You know, actually, Dr. Tenpenny says all the time, you know, vaccines don't prevent infection, but they do cause disease. You know, would you guys remember back in 2015, the so-called measles outbreak at Disneyland? 80% of those people had already received an inoculation for that.
Remember the term immunization does not equal protection.
Exactly.
And the percentages are great. The number of people who actually get antibodies is minuscule. And the number of people who are actually protected against disease is even smaller than that. And yet the number of people who develop disease as a result of the injection is extremely high.
Never mind the viruses altering, right? They mutate. So, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, what
was the V word?
She said the V word. Started on that one, Donna. Susan knows. And that's why it's good, because we're at the end and it's 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Perfect timing.
And I have to go.
On that note, I love you.
Yes. Thank you guys. Thank you guys all for being here. This was an amazing conversation. I had people actually messaging me before this show saying, I'm so excited that they knew this was going to happen. And they're like, I'm so excited for this show. I'm so excited for this conversation. So thank you guys all for being here.
I would say share it with a medical professional.
Yes.
Share it with a family. Share it with a grandmother, because all of the things that we all talked about here could be shared and help push the message that you're asking
yes.
people to just question. And this could be a question way for
everything.
You to introduce it, because both Larry and Donna gave really good perspectives today.
Yes. Question everything, guys. And if you're asked not to question, then fire that person and go somewhere else. Mm. I just want to quickly give you an update on Dr. T. She's getting better and better every day. She's writing Substacks every week. So please make sure that you follow her Substacks. We just haven't brought her back on camera because we want her to fully recover. We want a full recovery. We want her to focus on her health. It's not that she can't be here. It's that we feel it's better that she focuses right now on making sure that she's 100%, no added stress, no added anything else, but she is writing. Clinics are open. ECPs are open. Clinics are open too for ECP therapy. So please come on over. Our podcasts are still up and going. Brighteon is still up and going too. And the Tenpenny Report. So make sure that you still tune into our newsletters and everything that we're doing out there, because Dr. Tenpenny has a hand in everything that we're doing, topics including this show here. So before you guys
don't
leave
forget
here,
critically thinking with Dr. T.
Yes.
And Dr. T.
This week is the four of the five docs. It is the five docs this week.
We're still calling it five docs.
It is the five docs. And if you guys have not been on that and you're in our studio audience right now, make sure you sign up to be in the studio audience there, because we have a lot of this chatter that goes on inside of our studio audience even before the show starts. But I have to admit, Dr. Pete, the Five Docs is one of my favorite shows out there. It is one of the best shows you can watch. It's on the fourth Thursday of every month. You can sign up at drtenpenny.com. Just go under podcasts and you'll see Critically Thinking there, and you can watch the replays. It's well worth it. In very intelligent conversations, Dr. P, Dr. T, Dr. Carrie Madde, Dr. Christiane Northrup, Dr. Lee Merritt. And we sometimes bring in other guests. It's really incredible. You'll enjoy this tremendously. So make sure you sign up for Thursday. And before you sign off here, make sure you stick around. We're going to talk about some ways that you can detox yourself. Susan, we didn't have a chance to talk about that, but I know that you use that with your son, Teddy, to help him with some of the side effects that he's had from vaccines as well. Stick around. We have some offers for you where you can try yours for 82% off. Donna, thank you so much again. Dr. P, I love you always. Susan, I'll talk to you in five minutes.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store. Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing, that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future,
Our dollar could literally go to zero. It could be worth nothing. You might even not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT.